Welcome to the Morning by Morning podcast, where we discuss faith, relationships, and life advice. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite cozy drink and start the day with us. Before we get started on today's topic, we did just want to include a quick disclaimer that this is a birth story. There could be sensitive content that could be triggering for anyone who has had a traumatic birth experience or a traumatic medical experience. We also wanted to say in advance that we are not saying that any type of birth is harder or easier or better than another type of birth, or that medical staff in general is, you know, any certain way, whether supportive, not supportive. We are sharing one person's true experience in this area. And so if that is going to be a sensitive topic for you, feel free to just skip today's episode and listen again next week. Good morning and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today I have on one of my cousins, Faith, and she has a very interesting birth story to tell us, which I cannot relate to. I have not had a baby yet, and so I feel like I can learn so much from every single one of these I've ever heard. So we're going to talk to her about that. But first of all, Faith, what are you grateful for today?
I'm grateful for yesterday was Easter, and I'm grateful for just seeing our little kids be excited for that. And I mean, I'm grateful for Easter, but to, like, this year, my baby's old enough to, like, do things. So that was exciting. So I'm grateful for that.
That's fun. Yeah. I heard it was a fun time. I spent Easter.
It was freezing, but freezing, but it was still good. It
really was. Yeah. I was having that dilemma of, like, oh, I wore a dress, but it's
no,
like,
I wore my dress. I immediately changed.
Yeah. Me too.
The dress was for church. So,
well, I'm grateful because as it is the day after Easter, I am off work. And since we're going to talk about birth, I don't feel like there's TMI. I am on my period. I'm very crampy today. And I'm so pumped. I can just, like, chill today and not have to go pretend to be happy at school. So there's that. So anyway, okay, I think before we even get into, like, the birth story, because you said your son's old enough to have fun at Easter. So do you just want to say, like, how far past this you are and kind of, like,
so,
that
first? Yeah, we've had time to heal. So
yes.
He's 14 months old. He just turned one in February. So
okay,
we're past the, like, newborn, you know, we're right onto the toddler stage soon. So
you can tell this story from a little bit of distance. Yeah. So
I've had some time to process.
That's good. Yeah, I feel like I've watched a lot of birth vlogs on YouTube, or I've, like, listened to other podcasts, and I feel like it can sound very different depending on how far from the situation.
Oh yeah, no. If you would have, like, asked me to do this, like, a month postpartum, I wouldn't.
No, definitely it would have been not.
Like a crying podcast.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I guess, so my first question, my first part of the topic is, I want to know, before you actually gave birth to your son, before any of that even happened, was there anything that specific that you did to educate yourself or to prepare for birth while you were still pregnant?
Okay, so I guess I could have done more, for sure.
Yeah.
And, like, before I was pregnant, I'm like, when I'm pregnant, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And me talking about it, because I'm like, did you, like, feel like I'm dying? Like, I didn't even think about, like when I was pregnant, I'm like, all of that, I was just like, I need to get through the day,
Well, you also, I mean, we don't have to go super into this, but yeah. You were sick a lot of your pregnancy too, right?
Yeah, so that was like, I literally was nauseous before I could even find out I was pregnant.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Like, I gagged for, like, 2 days, and I'm like, this is suspicious.
Something's wrong.
Yeah. And then that's how I found out I was pregnant. Like, so much that, like, I tried to surprise my husband, and, like, he walked in the door and was like, I know you're pregnant.
You've been sick. Something's weird. Yeah.
Why are you gagging?
Yeah.
So, I feel like, yeah, if I would have been, like, you know, like, a little pregnant fairy, like, mm-hmm. blissful, I feel like I would have done better. But I mean, when I was pregnant, I think I was like 28 weeks and he was breech, which like isn't insane, but I was like, we are not doing this. So I did like spinning babies exercises, which is just like, you know, you're like doing weird positions
Try to
and
get him to
just,
turn.
yeah. And so I don't know if that did anything, but like at, I think 32 weeks he was head down, but I was like, we're not doing the breech babe. Like I'm gonna do
No.
everything I can.
Saying some extra prayers.
Yeah, I was like, oh no. Well, and then my whole pregnancy, they're like, he's big. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what if he, you know, what if I can't get him to turn? But I didn't listen to podcasts, which I should have, because now like I'm not pregnant and I listen to podcasts, but that would have been helpful for sure. I just feel like bad I didn't do anything.
Well, did you, even if you didn't like do research or whatever, which I think is fine,
Which
especially
I
with your
did.
first,
I
sometimes.
literally like did more research before I was pregnant, and truly like when I was pregnant, I was just like surviving. Like that's how I felt. That I just was like, I don't even care. Like just, but then
Just
like,
want
you
it to
know,
be done.
yeah, but then like as time went on, like it's like, oh, I, you know, maybe I wouldn't have had this experience if I would have like, you know, I'll give myself grace though, because I was just yakking
You were
24/7.
sick. First
So,
baby, yeah.
yeah.
Well, did you even like mentally try to kind of give yourself some sort of pep talk or
I think
something?
I was literally like mentally just like, this is not what I expected. Like, I just was like, I don't know. I truly like, I don't like even the like little like circle, like wooden circle, like month things, like for your baby, or like taking pictures of like week by week, like before I was pregnant, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to get those, I want to do that, and like that just didn't, I just like didn't do it, because I'm like,
Who
this
cares
is
what month it
no, I'm like, this is like, I'm not getting dressed up for a picture once a week, I feel horrible. Like, so I don't know, I just like, I don't know, I didn't do so good with
That's
that.
fair.
But
So then did you like based on, you said your doctor said your baby was big, but like just based on what other people had told you about giving birth or anything your doctor said, did you have expectations before it happened?
So for birth, my doctor was not supportive.
Oh no.
So it was like literally my husband was a big baby, so, and then I was like huge, not as a
So
baby,
there
just
was
when I
no
was
hope.
when I was pregnant, it was like a beach ball strapped to my stomach. So it was just like I knew he was big for me. So literally every time I got an ultrasound, she'd be like, he's big,
Oh
like
no.
you're screwed.
I feel like as the doctor, don't you want to like kind of
No,
say it in a
literally
positive?
we've switched providers now, so that's but she seriously would be like, you're gonna push for hours, like
No
just prepare
thanks.
yourself, you're gonna push for hours, like,
Oh my
you
God.
know, 8-pound babies don't just fly out, like you're gonna have to work to get them out. And I'm sitting there like 38 weeks pregnant, like,
Like, thank you so much.
oh
I can't wait.
my gosh. Well, so I mean, I guess that did help me, because that wasn't the case, but you know, so anything short of like 4 hours, like she was telling me, would have
Oh
been
my
amazing.
gosh.
But so she constantly was like, you know, just prepare yourself, it's gonna be hard. And like I knew birth would be hard, but it just wasn't,
Regardless, yeah.
it wasn't encouraging. So
So did you have like a birth plan? Like I know a lot of people say like, here's what I planned, but I tried to hold it loosely or whatever.
yeah, so I had like two plans in my brain. One of them was like, if I don't have to be induced, which I don't think I had to be, but that's another thing. But I had like a, you know, like a, my dream birth plan. And then I had like, if I have to be induced birth plan. So, like, my dream birth plan, like, I would have like done it in like a birthing center and like in the water and, you know, like a
Crunchy. No, that's
crunchy
very, very popular right now. And I'm
yeah,
like I said, I haven't even had a baby, but I'm like, wow, that looks amazing.
amazing. Yeah, so anything that's like, you're like, that's like a little granola, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. And then I started having like scary high blood pressure issues, but I think they, again, I switched providers, so, but I think
Did
they
they
could have
tell
been.
you that that was a possibility, like the whole birth center, or not so much?
No, literally when I was talking to my doctor, she would be like, "Oh, so this is what we're gonna do. Like you start feeling pain, you get the epidural, and then you have your baby." Like it wasn't even
An
it,
option.
yeah, it wasn't like a here's the, options. It was more just like this is the typical, whatever. So she just was a high intervention doctor,
She's
right?
not so
She's
crunchy.
not as crunchy as us. So, I need to find a crunchy one, but
Really, though, yeah.
yeah. So it was like, I just remember like, I felt like uncomfortable. Like I couldn't even say like, this is what I want because it was so much like a, you're gonna get the epidural. We're gonna do this, and this.
It was already decided for you, it sounds like.
Well, and before we even, so I had blood pressure issues the week before we were like, it's not a choice. You have to get induced. Like this isn't safe anymore. I heard her. I was sitting in the office and I heard her walk down the hallway and was like talking to one of the nurses and was like, put Faith down for an induction on this day.
Oh
Like
my gosh.
without even like talking to me about options or anything. And so when she walked in, I just was like, oh.
So she's like, here's what would be convenient for us as the medical
Yeah,
staff.
which you'll find is
Oh my
common. So,
gosh.
and then again, like I just remember sitting there in her office, just like defeated and just being like, okay, like you're just so, well, for me, I was just like so exhausted and tired and miserable.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and like scared because I
Yeah.
was having like scary symptoms. And it was just like, oh, like you're a first time mom, like you're fine, go home and take a Tylenol. And then I got a second opinion and they're like,
Yeah.
so I mean, I don't know. So my birth plan for like if I had to be induced was like I do want to try to go not obviously not medication free because an induction is
Right.
medication, but I wanted to try to like go pain management free. Like I wanted to feel everything. But also in my brain, I knew like inductions are, forcing your body to do something that it's not ready to do. So I
It's
was like,
already not natural, yeah.
right. So I'm like, if I feel like I get Pitocin and it's just like, you're done, like, I'm not gonna be sad that I got an epidural because I felt like the odds are already against me.
Right.
So that was my. I had, but also like they gave me a paper like when I was like 8 weeks pregnant, like my first appointment, like for your birth plan that you could like hang outside the door. And that's like another example of me being just like dead that I never filled it out.
Oh, so they want you to like mark your
So
preference
yeah.
and then they would check with you when you're
So
actually
yeah,
there.
they want you to, but also I've heard stories of like, I've listened to other podcasts where women said they've like seen a nurse like rip up their birth plan, like
Oh
just and like laugh, like
my
ah,
gosh.
whatever. Like,
Like, what's the point of even filling it out then?
right. Well, because it's like, if I guess when people say like we want to go like medication free, it's like, haha, you're not.
That is wild to me. Again, I've not experienced this whole world yet, but like I've just
Yeah.
seen so many things where people are talking about like literally for all of history, women did this intervention free. So why do
Yeah,
you feel like you
so
have to
well,
do
I think
that?
it's coming back. I think it's coming back.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
that's like there's a new wave of women, of
There's hope.
crunchy women.
Oh my
So
gosh.
maybe it will be different, but yeah. So I just like there's things like that. Like maybe I could have filled out the birth plan paper,
Yeah.
but I've heard like that's not.
Sometimes it doesn't matter, even if you did.
Yeah. And I mean the way things went for me, I don't think. Like literally my doctor, it was never talked about. Like it was just like, you're getting induced and this is, I didn't feel like I had control over my birth. So find a good doctor.
Oh my gosh.
But
That's
there was for sure things that
terrifying.
I can't blame it all on, like I didn't even fill out the birth plan. And I remember my baby was like 6 months old and I was going through paperwork and I found the birth plan and I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't even do it.
But also, I mean, yeah, you, like, I know everyone says, like, advocate for yourself, but it's, like, literally, right. If you're so sick and you're so stressed and you feel like they're already making decisions for you, like, you're are going, like, to feel a little bit, like, defeated, like you said.
Yeah. And it's, like, I just was, like, whatever. Like, I just want this to be over.
So. Yeah, that's fair.
Whatever. Next time.
So, okay, let's move into then, I guess, what the actual, your actual birth experience was like. Because you were like, well, that's not what happened. So you can share as much or as little of this as you want. But just kind of, like, walk through, like, here's what actually happened when, you know.
This and that. Yeah. Right. So I have 25 hours of
go for it.
But I wrote down little bullet points, so I'm not here for, you know, we're not here all day. But
right.
In short, I had, I was never diagnosed with preeclampsia, which, again, is a provider thing, mm-hmm. but I was, so yeah, my doctor came in to my doctor appointment, like my 39-week or 38-week appointment, and I was getting induced before she even walked in the room.
Oh my gosh.
So that was that. I went in on at 7 a.m., and I guess at that point, oh, this is, like, backtracking about okay. my provider. Every time, so you can do, like, cervical checks, like, yeah. starting at 36 weeks. Every time she would check me, and, like, this is, like, your saving grace. Like, if you're, you just go into your appointment, you're like, if I'm dilating, like, that's all right. I need to get through the next week.
Right.
She literally, and, like, some women don't before they, you know, and before actually they're in labor. Yeah. So it doesn't really mean anything. But at that time, I'm like, if I could just be dilated, like, right. that's all I need. She would check me and she'd be like, oh my gosh, you're not even, like, oh my gosh, you're not close. Like,
just the tone is yes. so discouraging.
I remember, like I would leave and I would get in the car with my husband and, like, cry, and he'd be like, we're going to McDonald's. Like, this is, like, I would just feel so defeated because it's like, she would laugh. She'd be like, oh my gosh, you're not even. No. But the morning that I went in to be induced, which that whole week I was just praying, like, God, please let me go on my own. Like, I don't want to do this. But I went in at 7 a.m. and I was actually, like, contracting on my own, and I was dilated to, like, a 1 or something. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. But then it's called Cytotech, which it's not like Pitocin. It doesn't force contractions. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's just like ripening everything.
Yeah.
And that goes in your cheek, or the one I had, it goes in your cheek, like, every 4 hours, and it just, like, melts.
Okay.
So really for, like, 12 hours, that's what I was doing. So I just,
without Pitocin.
Without Pitocin. Okay. So, and I mean, I was progressing, like, good on that. Like, I remember a nurse came in and was like, are you okay? Like, the monitor's like, you're having good ones. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I knew I was progressing on my own, or at least it seemed that way.
Yeah.
And then at 8 p.m., we were like, okay, like, we've been in this room for over 12 hours. Like, we'll walk around the halls or whatever, hopefully get things moving.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom first. Like, they unhooked me from everything for the first time in 12 hours. And I went to the bathroom, and when I stood up, I'm like, my baby just fell out.
Oh.
That's what it felt like. And I was like, something, like, I need a nurse. And then my water broke, like, the, like, crazy gush. And yeah. I started shaking. And I don't know if that was, like, a hormone rush or just, like, adrenaline, like, oh my gosh,
realizing what just happened. Yeah,
there's actually a baby coming. Uh-huh. And then they checked me and I was like at a 1.5, and I'm like,
oh my gosh. After 12 hours, you said, or 13?
Well, yeah, 13, whatever. Okay. And I'm like, okay, which, like, the Cytotech wasn't for dilation, it's more mm-hmm. for, like, thinning things yeah. out, which is actually probably more important than, like, dilating, just because if things aren't thin, then the baby can't come out anyways. But right. Then they, so my water broke, and then like things obviously got more intense because there's no cushion for the baby. And I just, that was like, okay, I'm like in labor now is what it felt like. Like, this is real.
Yeah.
So then I don't remember them like telling me they were starting me on Pitocin. And I asked my husband.
What?
And
he does that.
Yeah.
They didn't
and
tell
I,
you?
No. And I asked my husband too, because I was like, when did they ask, like, how did that happen?
Did
like,
I just forget?
Yeah, well, no, because I mean, if I forgot, whatever, you know, understandable. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, I'm pretty sure they just like hooked it up to your IV, like they just,
oh my God.
It was very like, you know, like you're getting induced, so this is just what's happening. But I remember, like, you know, it was so painful, like it, you know, a contraction, but I was like managing it well. I got breaks, so it was like, you know, a minute contraction, and then I got like a 2 minute break, so it mm-hmm. was like I could get through one because I knew I got a break. Then they started me on Pitocin, and it was like no breaks,
just back to back. Yeah,
it was like, because before my husband would watch the monitor and he would be like, okay, like it's gonna be over soon, like that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever they started me on Pitocin, he's like, it's going to be over soon. And I'm like, it's not. Like, it's no. not. And then I look over at the monitor, and the monitor was like, because like a typical contraction, it looks like a hill. And mine just was like at the top of the screen.
Just
like,
staying.
Yeah, just like staying. And it would do like a little drop, no. but like nothing. And I'm like, it's not. And I just remember thinking like, why is this, like, what happened? That now it's just like insane. And I mean, now I know they started me on Pitocin at that time.
I cannot believe if they wouldn't have said something, because literally you're going to have to kind of mentally adjust prepare. Your expectations yeah. for that. Yeah.
Well, because I do, like, I just remember thinking, like I said, like, just why, what happened? Because this is just insane. Like, it took me to a different world. Like, I was like on the ground, like crying, because I just was not getting breaks. And I labored like that for like 3 hours, because I'm thinking like, is this normal labor?
Right.
Like, I'm gonna try. So I try, like I tried to, but I'm like, I cannot, I'm like, I can't even like catch my breath, mm-hmm. because it was so. And we like tried to walk around the hallway again, and it was like I would take one step and have a contraction, and then I would like go to raise my other foot and have another contraction. So it was like, I can't even, like, I just like, okay, we're done, like we have to go back to the room because this is not gonna work.
Mm-mm.
And I remember my nurse came in, and I was like, is it too soon to get the epidural? Which I should give myself grace, because I was like, I don't know, 16
hours. But you'd already
in.
Done that for several, yeah, several.
Yeah, months. I was like, I was, you know, half a day in, but I still was like, is it too soon? And she was like, no, like, what are you talking
like, about? Like, let's just get that for you.
Yeah. Well, because I remember I was like, I had my knees on the floor and like my elbows on the bed, and I looked over at her just like, I probably looked like a horror movie. And I was crying, and I'm like, can I get that? And she was like, yeah, like, why didn't you ask? But I was like, I didn't realize I was like very much on Pitocin.
Yeah.
And I guess if I would have known that, I would have been like, okay, we're done. And I remember, like, they always say, you know, your epidural may take like a long time to get because there's other people in the hospital. And I remember she came in, she's like, okay, they didn't have anybody else. Like, you're the first one. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I thought, I cannot do this for like another hour. Like, no. I was already at my like breaking point. So the epidural wasn't like, for me, I don't know if it's because my contractions were just like horrific that I truly never felt a poke or anything. Wow. Like, they would be like, okay, this part stings, like, make sure you don't move. And I, like, remember trying to focus on my back because my contractions were horrible. I'm like, focus on something else. There's, like, a needle going in your spine.
Yeah.
And I seriously could not feel anything going on.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm like, because I've heard some people, like, it's painful or.
I have, too.
And so I was like, why is there, like, a rod going in my spine and I don't feel it?
Oh, my gosh.
But my legs were like hanging over the side of the bed, and they started feeling like like if they were to like fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm paralyzed. Like, what's wrong? And I told them like, my legs feel funny. And they're like, it's working, girl. I'm like, good. I'm like, great, because I'm about to die. So, right. So I got my like, it was like life changing. And I know I didn't want it, but like at that time, I'm like, this is just not going how I envisioned anyways, like whatever. Right. Thank you. And really after that, it was like, I got a Foley bulb, which is a, oh, another thing, before I got the epidural, she checked me, because I'm thinking if I'm at like a 6 or a 7, like maybe I can continue.
Right.
And she checked me and she's like, you're at a 2.
No.
And
I'm like,
we're done. I don't need to be a superhero. We're done.
No.
So that was like, I needed like some, like, you know, if I had some encouragement of that, maybe like, oh, you're close. But I was like, because I'm thinking like, am I about to have my baby soon? And they're like, you're at a 2. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm done. So, but I guess after that, I got a Foley bulb, which just is like a weird balloon catheter. And that was like another thing. They were like, that's, you know, it's going to take hours for that to like work. And I'm like, oh, great. Like,
right.
And it fell out in like 30 minutes, which they're like, that doesn't happen. Like, I guess after that, really, they were like just moving me into different positions. I could feel contractions on my right side. Like, I don't know if the epidural was not working. I don't know. But I could never sleep, because I'm thinking if I got the epidural, I don't want to feel anything.
Right.
So I was still like contracting on the right side. Like I could feel it, but then I'm like stuck in bed. So I couldn't like move around to get any relief that way. And I remember just being like, can you like do something? And they're like, well, we can't like mess with the, like, there's nothing we can do. Like, it's just not. And I'm like, then what was the point?
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the left side, but what about the right one?
Okay, sorry. Okay. So you said it's working on one side, but not the other.
Yeah, it wasn't working on the other side. So that just was annoying because I couldn't do anything. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. They're like, there's nothing we can do for that. And I'm like, well, whatever.
You couldn't get out of bed because of the placement of it. Yeah. Okay.
Because I guess you can't. And I guess in other countries you could have like, or maybe, I don't know if my hospital did this, but you could get like a walking epidural, which could have been, I don't know. That seemed like it could have been good, but
yeah, I've never heard of that.
You're just stuck in bed because you can't walk with your epidural. So I guess really after that, it was just like, you know, me being awake and just waiting. And then I remember feeling like, I feel something different. Mm-hmm. So I called my nurse in and she checked me, and I think I was like at a 9.5 or something. So she started setting everything up. And I had an angel nurse. This nurse was like an angel. I still remember her name.
Good.
But they do shift change every 12 hours. So she was the nurse for like everything going down. And then so my baby was born at 8 in the morning and the shift change was at 7. And so I was so sad that she left like the hour before he was born. And then I got a rude, cranky nurse.
I was about to ask, is there at least someone else that, because as long as there's at least like one person that's like, you know, supporting you, that's nice. But
yeah. Well, maybe she wasn't excited to be at work at 7 a.m.
Too bad. It's like, you're not the one having a baby.
But she came in and it was like just a different vibe. Like, you could just tell she was like, come on. Like, so they're like, okay, well, like, do some practice pushes because you're going to push for hours. Like, so I did like 2 practice pushes and they're like, oh, we're going to call the doctor, because he was very much ready to come out. And so my doctor came in, and I don't remember like the time frame, but like, we have pictures of like my birth, and I think I pushed for like 15 minutes max, and he came out.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember, well, and I just remember thinking like, huh?
Like, they're like, it's going to be 4 hours of pushing. For
hours. Yeah. So that was nice because I was already just exhausted from being awake for so long. And I remember she pulled him out and she's like, he's big.
You're like, I know, I was told.
I know I was going to push him out for hours. So they put him on my chest, and we did have that, like, I mean, I don't know, again, the time frame, but we did have, like, a few moments of, like, bliss, like, how you see in, like, you know, birth vlogs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so that, I am grateful for that. Like, I love that he was able to be brought up on my chest, because I know some people don't get that.
Yeah.
And when he had pooped inside of me, so mm-hmm. he had like meconium, and I remember when I was pushing, they were like, okay, like the NICU team's gonna come in, and in that moment I just didn't, like, because his heart rate was dropping too, because he was, they're like, oh, he's big and he's tangled up in his cord.
Oh my gosh.
So I remember they said the NICU team was gonna come in, and like in that moment I'm glad I didn't realize like what could have happened, because I just was like, oh, okay, like preventative. But another girl I watched had the same thing happen, and her baby needed like resuscitated and NICU time. So I'm glad I didn't know at that moment, because I just was like, okay, whatever. Like, I didn't know. So then again, I just don't remember. Maybe my brain blocked it out, but
maybe for the best.
Probably protecting me, but he's on my chest, and then because everybody has like masks on except for like us,
mm-hmm.
so I'm just like trying to read the room with my eyes, because it just got silent, and I'm just looking at like my doctor's eyes, and I'm like, oh, this is not like, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody like grabbed my leg and shoved like a giant needle in it. And I'm like, what? Okay. Yeah. and
said nothing?
No, they weren't telling me anything, and maybe trying to like not freak me out. But by not saying anything, I was like panicking.
You're probably imagining worse things. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, okay. And I think I was also still in shock, because when they just, you know, they put a baby on your chest and you're like, oh my, what? Mm-hmm. I have a baby now. So. that's like already kind of shocking anyways, even though you knew you were pregnant, but they just weren't saying anything. And I remember asking like, what's wrong? And finally my doctor was like, your uterus is just like exhausted. And then they started punching me.
Oh, no.
It's not funny, but they just started punching me. Like, and I thought like my 3-hour long contraction was like the worst pain of my life, until they started beating me. Like, that was truly worse.
Are they trying to get it to like
go down?
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess they said like he was big for me, so my uterus was, which I think was a factor, but I also think being induced and like having no breaks and contractions, your uterus is just exhausted.
Yeah.
So they said it's like, oh, because he's big for you, your uterus was so stretched out, like it doesn't know how to go back down. But also,
how much
like,
time do you think had passed though, since he was actually born, to when they're like, it's not going down?
I don't know. Quick. It was quick.
Like, I don't know what amount of time is concerning that it's not happening, you know?
I don't know either, because I know like my placenta already came out and I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, so, and I have no recollection of when that happened.
Yeah.
But so I don't know, probably like, I don't know, 5 minutes, if that.
Okay.
So they just were saying it wasn't going down, so they had to beat on your stomach to get it to go down, and or like encourage it to go down, I guess. And the shot in my leg, I think now, was Pitocin, because they'll give you Pitocin after birth to help your uterus contract.
Okay.
So I just, yeah, they just beat me for what, I don't even know how long, like 15 minutes. So, and my husband was just standing there like,
what do I do?
Well, yeah, because it's like, I think he was just shocked that a baby came out. And mm-hmm. then now they're like beating his wife. And I was like, I've never screamed in pain before except for like that moment.
Oh my God.
And I just, yeah, I don't really remember.
Is it literally like punching?
Yeah, like my husband described it as like, so like your belly's still like fat,
right?
Like pregnant, you still look pregnant. And he said it looked like they were punching my spine, like through the top of my stomach. And I'm like, that's a great visual.
That's insane.
So, yeah. So my doctor was like, I did a like that about her, that she like thought quickly how to act on that, because I know some women like hemorrhage later on and it's not caught in time. But she did get it under control, and I just remember like it felt like everything happened so fast, and then we were like alone in the room with our baby, and I'm just like, what just happened?
You can't even process. Yeah, that's so much happening in a small amount of time.
Well, and I didn't even know that I hemorrhaged at that time until I went down to the postpartum room and they were like going over like patient notes, and they're like, you know, my age and everything, and they're like that I hemorrhaged, and I'm like,
nobody told me that.
And also my nurse that like shift changed right before he was born, she like ran in as I'm hemorrhaging, and she was like, oh my gosh, I just heard that he was born, like I had to come see. And I was like, oh my gosh, Angel. And I remember looking at her and being like, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And because I remember I told the other nurse like, what is happening, like I'm scared. And she's like, what are you scared about? And I'm like, nobody's saying anything, and you're shoving a large needle in my leg. Like,
yeah, what do you mean? Why is that confusing that that's scary?
Yeah, I know you see this every day, but it's me. So.
I would think they also see people afraid of that.
Yeah. And
I feel like they shouldn't be surprised when that's traumatic for the patient.
Yeah, and they weren't saying anything either. And I'm like, what do you mean? What am I scared about?
Right.
Like, dying.
I have no information and everything's painful and unknown.
And my doctor never like told me that what had happened until, you know, I heard the nurses over talking. But that was nice so I love that nurse, because I needed her in that moment to run in and tell me that it was okay. But then yeah, that's the birth story. I mean, it was like traumatic in that moment, and even like the week after, and I think I like had to grieve a birth experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I had other traumatic things happen, so that set, like, it's like I just registered it as the least traumatic of other things that happened postpartum. So
yeah,
maybe those things helped me heal. But
oh my gosh.
It was, and I think now I found out that, like, if you got induced, like, if you're induced, you have a higher risk of, like, hemorrhaging and things like that anyways. So, I mean, I know I was part of, like, a cascade of interventions, it mm-hmm. seems like, but I kind of knew that going in because I knew I was getting induced, so.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the story.
Oh, my gosh.
The birth.
So during that whole time, like not postpartum, but like during mm-hmm. the whole time you were in the hospital in the process of giving birth, was there anything? I know you talked about the one nurse that was encouraging, but like, was there anything that helped you mentally? Like, if your husband was able to do or say anything, or the medical team, or just anything in your own mind that was helpful? Or do you just kind of enter survival mode? And
I think I literally, it's like fight or flight mode, because I literally remember just thinking like, am I dying? Like, I just mm-hmm. thought like the worst, which I know like worse things could happen, but I haven't experienced that. So
right. For you, that was
the worst. that nurse was super supportive. Like, that's what I needed. is just somebody that wasn't like, you're gonna push for hours, like, so I don't know. I feel like it was, I just didn't have a great experience.
Right.
So it's like, I liked being in labor. Like, it sounds like the whole thing was just like horror, but sometimes I told my husband, like, I would give birth again. So yeah. Like, just even if you didn't have a baby, just like try to experience it again, just because I feel like I have not a good memory of everything that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I for sure, again, I could have done more to prepare myself for things to go wrong. Which when I was pregnant, somebody asked me if I was scared of giving birth. And I was like, no, I'm not scared of birth. I'm scared of like the after. And they're like, oh, what, like taking care of the baby? I'm like, no, like hemorrhaging.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess, so it's like, I knew that could happen, but I didn't. How can you prepare? How can you prepare yourself for that experience? I don't know.
Well, it's also probably a balance too. Like, you want to be prepared, like, okay, here's my ideal plan. If it doesn't work, like, I might have to have this happen. But right. You also don't want to sit there and just...
And scare yourself.
Yeah, and scare... So you don't want to just, like, project negativity, like, before right. It even happens. So that's probably a hard balance to have.
Well, and I remember one of my, like, biggest fears for me was having a C-section. Like, I've mm-hmm. never had, like, a major surgery, and... I remember like telling that angel nurse, I was like, I'm so scared of having a C-section. She was like, what are you even talking about? Like, that's not even on the table. Like,
okay,
that's not happening. Like, just relax. So that was encouraging. But so she was good at that. So that nurse was an angel for real. She was the one that
oh my goodness.
Like helped me, but.
It is hard because I do know that, like, medical professionals are also, like, under a ton of stress. And, like, mm-hmm. I've heard all kinds of stories from them, too. But it is hard because it's, like, when that is one of the biggest events of your life as the patient and it is something right. that could easily go wrong, it's, like, you really need people who are able to be encouraging, supportive. Yeah. And even if you're scared, like, validate that you're scared. It's, you don't uh-huh. have to be, like, what do you mean you're scared?
Why are you scared? You're just right? bleeding out.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. That's
that nurse had told me she had two like unmedicated births. So okay. I think she was a blessing in the room because if I would have had the one nurse that I had for 1 hour, I would have like, I think it probably would have went differently because she was not nice.
Not understanding at all.
Yeah. So.
Well, I feel like you've kind of been talking about this the whole time, but I was just going to ask, like, what do you wish you would have known ahead of time? Or, like, if you could, and I know a lot of the stuff is out of your control, so, I mean, but is there anything that you feel like would have helped if you would have known or done something differently? Or, like, I know you said you've changed providers since, but mm-hmm. is there anything?
Well, and that was one of my things, was, like, find a provider that's, like, you're on the same page, because you shouldn't feel like you're fighting for like what you want. Like, it mm-hmm. should just be like a, yeah, okay, like whatever. It shouldn't be like a, please, I need like, or just like, you're getting the epidural. Like, this is what's happening. You're getting induced before I even talk to you. Like, it shouldn't be a fight.
That blows my mind.
Yeah. So, get a good provider that you like. And I mean, I didn't realize that we weren't a good fit until really like 38 weeks. And mm-hmm. so it's like, you can't, I mean, nope. Who's going to like change providers? Oh,
no, you don't have time.
Right. So that was like a big thing for me. Also advocating for yourself, because I threw up my whole pregnancy and my doctor would be like, yeah, that just happens. Like, sometimes that just happens to people.
No solutions.
Right. It was, but then like I talked to her postpartum and she's like, yeah, like maybe next time we look into like a Zofran pump. And I'm like, did you not know what was happening?
Did we not have access to that the first time?
Right. I was like, so was that just for fun? Like, what was the point then? So also like my blood pressure issues, I was going into triage like four times every 2 weeks, like stroking out, and they're like, eat a cracker, take Tylenol.
Thanks.
I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. I'm stroking out. Anyways, I'll eat a cracker.
Oh, shoot.
So, and advocating for yourself is hard. So if you can't, then find, like, bring somebody with you that's willing to. Because my mom was like gonna rage every time they were telling me to leave the hospital.
Yeah.
So have somebody that can do it if you're not.
That's smart.
State of mind. Well, because it's like I was dying when I was pregnant that I felt like I don't even want to advocate for myself because I'm so miserable. And like my husband, it's not like, I mean, we're young to have, it's not like we've had kids before. Mm-hmm. We have friends that have had kids before. So it's not like he was like, no, I know what's going, like, we didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah, he doesn't know either. So.
Right. Because he was thinking, like, this is normal. Because I remember he asked my mom, like, is this normal? And my mom's like, no. Like, this is not okay. So, I mean, now I found my voice to advocate for myself. And having a baby helps because it's, like, the claws come out when you have to advocate for your baby. So, oh, get a doula.
Okay.
I've never had a doula, but get a doula.
Okay, so can you just explain, like, midwife versus doula? Like, what will that person, like, benefit for you?
So, a doula is, like, somebody that you would hire, just kind of like a support person for your pregnancy and birth. So, I think they would see you, like, a few times throughout your pregnancy. They'd, like, be in the loop with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then for birth, they would be, like, I think, like, from, like, 36, 37 weeks on, they would be, like, on call for your birth. So they would just come, well, like, when you want them to come or whatever. And even if you were, like, getting induced or if you had a C-section, you could have a doula, too. Like, it's just, like, a support person. And I think it's, like, also not just beneficial for you, but, like, your husband or partner or whoever because – my husband panicked.
Right.
So it's like anything that I like tried to like coach him on or whatever, which I didn't even know, like what do you tell somebody on how to be a support person, just like flew out the window when everything was actually happening.
I don't have the capacity to tell you how to help me.
Right, but just know
just how. Hanging on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know how soon you need to find a doula if you're going to have one?
I think I've heard you can like get one immediately. I'm sure they wouldn't be so like hands-on when you're like 8 weeks.
Like when you find out you're pregnant, you could start looking.
You could and like build that relationship with them early. But I mean, yeah, I think whenever, probably before you're 36 weeks pregnant. But it would be helpful too. Like if I had a doula the first time, like if I'm like, hey, I'm having all of these symptoms. I feel like I'm going to have a stroke. She would be like, right. Oh, yeah, this is like, go, you know, if you went to the hospital, like you could ask all of these questions or whatever.
Probably not going to tell you to eat a cracker.
Right. She won't say take Tylenol and eat a cracker. I just would do so many things differently. So, yeah. And it took like a bad experience to know what I would do differently.
But I think that's good because like you said, like you want to do it again. So now you're thinking, okay, what can I do to help myself do that again?
Right. And that's like for sure my brain blocking things out to make you have more kids because I'm like, I remember like a month after I had my son that I was like, that was like the worst pain in my life. And now I'm like, oh, what? Like,
sign me up.
Sign me up. I'll do it again. So that's like a weird mental thing, but
oh my gosh.
Hopefully I won't have to be reminded of what it was like. But
right. Well, and two, I know everyone's experiences are so different, but I have heard a lot of people say that like the next time, maybe because of what you were saying, like you just know more, like the next time was better.
Yeah, I feel like it could be like healing and like redemptive. That's what I told my husband. I'm like, I feel bad saying like I need like, I mean, I would want to have another baby, too, with it. But I'm like, I need, like, a redemptive birth experience to heal from. because like sometimes I think about it and I just like get mad about certain mm-hmm. things, like why didn't I do this, but it's like you were vomiting every day, like just right. give yourself some grace on that one. But
definitely. Okay, this is a more positive one. Is what are you most proud of yourself for?
I'm proud of myself for pushing my baby out in that 4 hours.
Yeah.
So because that was like, and really even like 10-15 minutes is like quick for mm-hmm. even like maybe a second or third time mom, like that's a quick time to get a baby out.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of myself for that, because I was like, literally they did an ultrasound to make sure he was head down, like when I got admitted to the hospital that morning or the morning before, and the guy was like, oh, he has a big head, and I was like, okay, shut up.
So like, let's tell her again in case she hasn't yeah. already heard it.
Just in case she's not already concerned. And he was true to all the measuring. He did have like a 94th percentile head or something crazy. So,
well, that's true, because sometimes people say that they were told, you know, a certain size and it's not yeah. accurate.
Yeah, so they told me at my like 36 week appointment, they're like, we're looking at like, you know, 8+ pounds at birth. And he was 8.5 pounds. And that was after he like pooped on me like 4 times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, weigh the poop. Like, I need credit. I pushed
get
that
the
out.
Accurate of weight. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My but, gosh. So they were like pretty spot on with his weight, because I've heard stories like that too, where they're like, oh, they're going to be huge. And then they have like a
you 6.5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was accurate to size, but my husband was a 9-pound, 14-ounce baby. So I was like, you know what? 8.5 is good.
So it could have been even bigger.
Oh yeah. My gosh. So I'm proud of myself for that, because my doctor at my like next appointment, she was like, you did good, girl. I'm like, yeah, can it.
Oh, man,
you're the one that said the whole time it wasn't gonna be that way. So
and well, despite your discouragement.
Right, thank you, I did it anyway. I'm also proud of myself that my baby's 14 months old and I am still nursing him, and
yeah,
that was like, not, you know, that's another story. My postpartum journey is another story, but that was not in the cards for me. Mm-hmm. So that, like, my doctor and like other doctors told me, like, you have to stop, like you're gonna get sick, and I'm just stubborn. And so, but I am proud of myself for that, because I feel like I beat the odds against me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's hard even if you don't have complications. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just mentally and physically hard.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But yeah, I'm also just proud for surviving.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like it.
Just like pushing a baby out, even if it wasn't like a bigger baby or anything, I feel like everybody should just be proud for,
no matter how you did it. Yeah, we're proud of you
just for being pregnant and giving birth any way that you gave birth. You should definitely be proud about it, because definitely it's wild.
Okay, last one, and again, I feel like you kind of have been touching on this the whole time, but that's okay, is just, what advice would you give to someone who will be giving birth soon? I know you've said, like, advocate for yourself. Right. Is there anything else that you think is just important for people to remember going into it?
Try to stay positive.
Yeah.
Like, this story, like, maybe is not. I mean, it was, like, I loved, like, having my baby. So mm-hmm. it is positive, you know. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel, even if you have hardships. So I don't know. I guess that just like some of the same things, like just advocate for yourself, because you're the only one that knows what you want.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Just things may go differently and that's fine. I just, yeah, I expected my pregnancy to be like, I'm like pretty young, and I figured there would be no complications or anything. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what happened. So, right. Yeah, I guess just be open.
Be ready open with plan B.
Yeah.
Get yourself a doula.
Get yourself some good support people, because, you know, you need it. Just, be in a good space. Like, things might go differently, but it's gonna work out, and get a good doctor.
But now your baby is healthy,
right, and everything. Happy. We're good now.
Did so, it. Oh, oh my goodness.
It's like not traumatic enough that I didn't want to have another one. So right. That's encouraging, I guess.
Oh, I think it was super helpful. I, like I said, okay. I listen to these stories and I watch these because they're all so different. Like, mm-hmm. I think it is sometimes hard to like prepare yourself. So I think it's good like to hear honest stories and, you know, what actually happened so that you're not like so shocked.
You would kind of want to mentally know like things, you know, things could happen. Like, I guess I didn't know the risks of induction when right. I got induced. So, but it would have been like nice to know risks of like an induction and things like that. Like, I didn't know that like you're immediately higher risk for a cesarean birth when you get induced.
I didn't either.
Like, and I'm like, wow, if I would have known that, I would have maybe been a little more, but you know, again, I was dying. So I didn't even think to, I think I was just would have been so done anyways that I wouldn't have fought it, but I didn't realize that till afterwards. And I heard that and I was like, oh, but yeah, I guess I didn't even know the process of like what hemorrhaging would look like in a vaginal birth. Cause I know people that have had C-sections that have lost a lot of blood, but it's like, they're not, I don't know the, like what would happen there. Like, I didn't realize they would have to beat on me to get that to go away. I don't know. So, but I mean, yeah, I guess if I was pregnant and somebody, cause sometimes it's like people maybe like need to talk about their birth that may be traumatic to like validate their feelings,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes I'm like, am I like projecting my trauma?
No, but you have to, yeah, you have to be able to talk about your experience too, though. So I think
that's cool. Just what it was.
Yeah.
So, cause I mean, even like in the beginning when people would tell their birth stories and it just was like I know somebody that got induced like 2 months after me and they're like, it was amazing. Like it really? Was 8 hours long. Like, I'm so lucky. And I just was like feeling like, I wish.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon. But now I'm like, great. Like, I'm glad that. But like at the time, I'm like thinking like, okay.
Right.
This is not like, I don't need to hear that, you know? So it's like some people may not want to hear none. Like if you're super pregnant, positive. Like you need to like be listening to positive mm-hmm. birth stories or else you're going to have a negative spin on the whole thing. Because I think if somebody would have came to me and been like, you're gonna get punched in the stomach,
like I think I'm gonna stay home,
you're gonna be in horrible pain, I'd be like, I'm not doing this. So
yeah,
it's just hard. Like whenever they say like, you don't know until you know, like you can't, you cannot mentally prepare yourself,
mm-hmm.
I feel that, because I don't think if somebody would have told me what would have happened, I wouldn't have, like, I would have been like, okay, like, I still wouldn't have been prepared, so.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing, even though some of that was probably hard, too.
Yeah, I'm
really like, but I really appreciate it.
A month ago, or, like, a month postpartum, I would have been like, I can't, yeah. But we're good now.
No, I am sure that it will help somebody else to hear your story and even, you know, the hard parts. I think that it's encouraging to hear like someone else went through this, they got through it, and you know, like you said, you're still thinking about having more kids. So I think right. that in and of itself is an encouraging story for people who will be doing this in the right. future.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of the podcast. If you want to give feedback on this topic, share other topics you want to hear about, or share what you're grateful for, you can follow the Instagram page, Morning by Morning Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Remember to find something to be grateful for today.